You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes and Mike Johnson, Jamie Noodles McLennan in here. Peter DeBoer, head coach of the San Jose Sharks, will join us in about a half an hour. Everyone's waiting for Kawhi Leonard to make a decision, and I don't even think he's done meeting with all these teams. And it's July 4th on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a big day down in the States for an announcement, because the whole country would be off. A lot of people up here are already on vacation.
No, he doesn't owe anyone anything.
No.
Right? So he's making a decision for himself. But I feel like he should owe the Raptors the respect of a decision in a timely manner. It doesn't have to be like at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, the second. But you don't want to leave him hanging for 2 weeks and all of a sudden other secondary or tertiary free agents are now already off. They got no one to fill their roster. You don't owe it to the Lakers or the Clippers for that. But I think for the Raptors, given all that happened this past year, if it's not going the Raptors' way, sooner is better than later.
Well, we were talking yesterday. The minute he walks in that room, you know.
Jerry walks in.
Right. So let's say
With anyone else, though. No.
So say Masai walks into his room. Say he's got a suite at a hotel.
Yeah.
You walk in that room, you can tell by body language or just even the air in the room how it's going to go down. And how I would say that is if you've ever been broken up by a girl, you walk in, you know.
You can feel it coming from a mile away.
You've got something,
and
right?
And furthermore, like, you know she's already got another guy in the go. Like, that's the big thing.
That's it, yeah. Like, she walks out and you see her jump into some guy's car and drive away.
She's not pulling the hey, it's not you, it's me. She's saying it's this other guy. Yeah.
It's clearly it's you and because I'm going with that guy.
Right. That guy is ready.
But I could say, like, if Masai walks in and Uncle Dennis is sitting there and gives him a hug and like, you could probably be at ease right away. But if he walks in and Uncle Dennis is cowering in the corner or won't look him in the eye or something, like, but you know you're done.
But that would imply that he knows what he's doing.
But don't you think he's got an idea by now, Kawhi Leonard?
Of course he does. But I'm saying if he already knows what he's doing, then he should do it. If you can tell when he walks into the meeting that he's made his mind up, when he's meeting the Raptors, then he should just make his decision. I wonder if he legitimately is not sure.
Well, there may be a part of that because he's from L.A.
Right.
You can imagine the people in his inner circle want him to go to L.A. I would assume.
Yeah, but I thought Uncle Dennis was from the Philly, Jersey area.
He is, but now he's out there. He lives out there. And he took care of Kawhi and all that. So his sister, Kawhi's sister, cousins, friends.
Yes.
You know that they're going to be saying, hey, man, we want you to come here. So let's say he's planning on returning to Toronto. He's probably trying to come up with a way to explain to them why he's going back to Toronto.
Correct.
If he is undecided and he really is truly undecided, then it makes sense that he's going to wait until he goes through the process of meeting with all these teams.
Right.
Although, what are you going to hear from Toronto that you don't know?
Nothing. But my fear would be if he has made a decision, the reason he hasn't made the announcement yet, if it's L.A., it's because let's say it's the Lakers, but even if it's the Clippers, he wants to show the respect to the Raptors and not let the news get out before he meets with them.
Mm. Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Which I think that's the right move.
Yeah, if you frame it that way, that's the better move.
He's made up his mind. The guy from The Bachelorette breaking it.
Exactly. And Masai's flying down to see you. You just want a title with these guys. Yeah, sure, you didn't originally want to go there, but they took care of you.
Yes.
You know, like, it's been... I think it's been gotten... It's carried away a little bit too much, this idea that it was only Kawhi that propped up Toronto. And it was only Kawhi the reason they won. He was the biggest part of that winning, but Kyle Lowry factored in significantly. Siakam factored in significantly.
Right.
The medical staff factored in significantly. They put him in a position to be the most sought-after player in the summer and to arguably be the best player in the world. The Raptors gave him that opportunity.
Yep.
So he owes them a lot, just as much as they owe him a lot, too.
Correct.
Because
Correct.
Even though he didn't want to come here originally, he was professional. You didn't hear anything out of him. Every time he played, he gave 100%, and he put forth the greatest performance in team history and won them a championship. But it has been mutually beneficial.
Yeah,
he has benefited as well. So he owes them the respect.
Rehabilitated his body,
big time,
and somewhat his image.
I think so.
A malcontent.
Look at this New Balance stuff. Like now, maybe that would have happened somewhere else. Maybe if he got traded to the Clippers instead of Toronto, maybe the fun guy stuff happens anyway. But
doubt it.
I don't know, man. I mean, people in Toronto have gravitated to New Balance because of Kawhi Leonard.
New Balance.
New Balance is the new Nike in Toronto because of Kawhi Leonard.
The reason why I said doubt it is because he delivered a championship, a part of it with everyone else, but the persona, I think, grew like as he went step by step through the playoffs to the point where was it Fred had went to give him the pound before they went out.
It was Norman Powell.
Sorry, Norman Powell. And he was just like, let's go.
Leave me alone.
And he knew. He knew the camera was watching.
He was messing with
them. He was messing with them, but he knew that the legend of Kawhi was growing and growing. Like, and I think if he did that with the Clippers, it wouldn't have been as powerful. I'm sure the fan base. No, I'm not sure. I know the fan base is large down there. One of my best friends is a diehard Clippers fan, has had season tickets at half court his whole life.
But he is in the minority.
The Clippers are not a big deal in LA.
They are not a big deal. They're a mock.
Are they number 7 on the depth chart?
But that's what I'm saying. Like
behind probably. Lakers, USC, UCLA, football teams, Dodgers.
The Dodgers for sure.
All of them.
But Kings, what I'm saying is like the board man, New Balance and that. It wouldn't be as popular if it wasn't for this marketplace.
Absolutely. Now, the Lakers brand,
would
that's a big profile. And it's not like New Balance is the one that's going to make the decision.
No,
they're not going to Kawhi and saying, this is where we want you to go.
But nobody, we don't know Kawhi Leonard. We don't know what he's really like. One question I always wonder is, if he's so introverted and quiet and he doesn't chase social media like there will be no brighter limelight than going to Hollywood, play for the Lakers. You got LeBron, AD, Magic's gonna be back in the building. Like, I just wonder, yes, it's California. Yes, it's Los Angeles where you have family. But is that work environment something that's going to appeal to you?
That's shocking, contrasting that with the
lifestyle environment, which clearly would appeal to just anyone to live in Los Angeles.
That's why the Clippers makes more sense in that market.
And it always has.
But the problem is that who the Clips get this? They didn't get their second max player.
No. Right.
He wanted Jimmy Butler to go to L.A. with him. He wanted Jimmy Butler as his running mate. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Butler going to Miami, one of the best things that happened to Toronto's odds of retaining Kawhi, because no second max player. They're not in position to probably contend just yet, even though they're a pretty good young team.
Yes, but you're right.
Had they gotten Jimmy Butler sitting there,
that would be big.
Then we'd talk Clippers, and it would make more sense.
Because the Clippers, the reputation hasn't changed. They're trying to promote this idea that they're different, but they're not. They're still a team that is largely irrelevant, that doesn't win anything. And let's say they sign Kawhi. That would be a massive makeover in terms of the reputation, clearly. But that second max slot is going to go unused. There's nobody else out there. You know, like Durant made his decision. Irving made his decision. Butler is gone. Clay re-upped.
Yeah.
The big guys, Kemba Walker's in Boston.
Yeah.
So if Kawhi signs with the Clippers today, you know, they still have some room to maybe go out there. Maybe Danny Green follows them. Maybe they go out.
They'll get all the
Cousins or something.
You'll get the supporting cast, but
you're not getting that max guy.
You're not getting another. And up the road, it's LeBron and
AD. It's still LeBron and Anthony Davis.
And another thing that is, maybe he doesn't care about, because at some point money's just money, but if you play 10 years in the league and you're 29 or 30 years old, you're allowed 40% of the cap versus 35.
Right.
I think he's one more year away from that. So if you don't extend until after your next year, to me, if he comes back to Toronto, do one and an option, $36 million a year.
Yep.
So he's guaranteeing 70 if his body breaks down, but he can opt out next year, go opt for a Supermax score if he wants again, come back one more time in Toronto. Like, I think that's Toronto's best bet to get
absolutely
it done.
Short-term deal. And you've been saying that.
And the fact that NBA players get to call their own options, their player options, not team options, it's brilliant.
Well,
it's crazy. I love it.
Listen, in a year, if Kawhi doesn't sign with the Clippers, they're still going to have those max offers for him in a year.
Still there.
The Lakers are not, if Kawhi doesn't go to the Lakers, they're not going to fill that max contract offer either. So it's probably still on the table. He could kick the can down the road one more year.
And also get a bigger contract.
And get a bigger contract. And I think the best opportunity at repeating as a champion is in Toronto. Even with LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kuzma, they literally don't have any other players yet. And I don't
literally,
you know, literally don't have any other players. And, you know, the dysfunction behind the scenes, I don't know if it matters as much when you get on the court. I don't think it does.
I think for those guys it does. Oh, maybe not on the court, but as far as what their experience is like. For when we, you know, you're around the team, you don't interact with the gym management, it doesn't matter what happens. But those guys with Uncle Dennis on the flights or influence on the roster.
LeBron walking in
the line. LeBron is different. LeBron is different for me. LeBron, I don't care about Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and whether or not Kurt Rambis is liking tweets on Twitter, you know, or if he's still into big asses
hot,
or whatever.
Hot ass daily for Kurt Rambis.
That's Kurt Rambis and his whole story in the, behind the scenes. But LeBron is on the court with you.
Yeah.
And what I got to believe LeBron is telling Kawhi Leonard whatever he wants to hear. But I don't believe for a second he's going to defer. This is LeBron James. Do you really think LeBron James is going to sit there and say, I'll play second fiddle to you? I don't. He might be forced into it 2 or 3 years down the road as his body breaks down as he gets older. But I don't believe for a second he signed in L.A. and had a disastrous first season and wants to play second or third fiddle to any of these guys.
Because at this point, he's not, I mean, he's still one of the best players of all time, LeBron. He's, what, a year or two away from probably being the third best player on that team if Kawhi goes there and everyone's
Based on his age.
Just because of his age.
Yeah. Right.
So,
but not this year. This year, he's got Space Jam 2 coming out.
Yeah, you think there's a bounce back in LeBron.
I think he believes it is, and I'm not going to doubt it. And even if it isn't, I'm not convinced he's going to be ready to step aside.
You wonder what the players around the league, because you've heard the rumblings that, of course, you want to play with LeBron because he's LeBron. You're going to be a good team.
But
The idea that the circus that comes with it and the fact that he is immune of from criticism. So if it goes well, LeBron carried this team to a win. If it doesn't go well,
your
supporting cast wasn't good enough to support LeBron.
Yep.
Yeah.
For a play, and you take that if you're, you know, Brandon Ingram, whatever, Lonzo Ball. Like, that's part of your younger. You take that from the start. You try to learn and grow and all the rest of it. But Kawhi is a guy, one of five in the world who can look LeBron in the face like, I don't owe you anything.
No.
No deferential respect to you. Respect you, sure, but I'm not cowering to you because you're you.
Yeah.
There's not many guys in the league that are like that.
I'm like you. I'm just as good as you technically.
Right now. Like,
so how that plays out
is a big
question mark.
Process. Yeah. I mean, we all know, again, we've known for a long time what the pitch is going to be for the Raptors, the Clippers, and the Lakers. Yeah. It goes without saying. There's only so much
Are the Lakers like a slam dunk if he goes there? Even with just four guys
to win a title? Well, they're heavy favorites for sure.
Well, you know, regular season, they're going to be a lot of load management because I got a feeling that LeBron and them are looking at Kawhi and going,
that's how we do it.
I'm going to do that too.
But that's another part of this whole issue here with Kawhi is that he may be saying, listen, boys, I'm not committed to playing 82, but who do you think is going to win that battle? If LeBron says, I'm not playing tonight.
Yeah.
And this is my load management day.
I'm the one that's getting tonight off. You know, like
I'm not worried about your.
No,
you would have to hire the right sports science team that would balance that, right? You can't go
three
of you guys
works for the Raptors.
The Raptors.
What's
his name? Alex McKechnie.
You're right.
He would be no joke.
Right.
He would be part of the deal.
Probably,
if Kawhi goes elsewhere, I'm sure Kawhi's like, you got to sign him because apparently Alex McKechnie likes. He was in LA for a long time.
He's been in LA.
He's not adverse to the sunshine, so he would be on the.
Yeah, we've heard
playing
that.
Back with
that's
him.
An interesting package.
Well,
too.
And didn't
you take him? You give him $1 million a year.
Didn't the Leafs sports science guy left for Anaheim?
Yeah, he did.
I thought I read that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, young guy and quite progressive. I thought I read that about a month ago.
Daryl Belfry was it or
no,
something?
No,
it
was.
That's a skills coach.
Daryl Belfry. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Anyways, I don't know his name, but I think you're right.
I believe it's a young progressive guy, sports science, left for the Ducks.
Well, go where the money's at.
Yeah.
You know,
that's where it is. Like, when you think about it, it's.
I'm surprised. So even like, talking about the Leaf thing.
Yeah.
Unless you like California more than Toronto, which you absolutely could, I'm surprised the Leafs would ever let someone that they want to keep around, a team like Anaheim, outbid them for person services.
I think it. I don't know if it
could
would
have been
outbid.
Mutual. Then.
I think
if you wanted him.
Yeah.
It may have been
because those are the guys the Leafs should never lose.
Jeremy Bell, I believe, was his
name. And was he the number one? I think he may have been like a support cast. Okay. I don't want to misspeak because I'm sure the guy's fantastic or something, and I'm calling him a support guy. But I believe there was...
Right. Oh, if he's got a promotion there, but like that's...
Right.
All that stuff. Here, we talked to Kyle Dubas first hour, and he mentioned we got to make sure we provide the best opportunity for our young players to get better every day. And that means nutrition. That means sports science. That means training, coaching. Like, all that stuff, if you can't use your financial leverage by paying players more, that's where you use it.
Yeah. Well, and the Raptors...
Break the bank.
The Raptors can do that. Like, the Raptors have a richer ownership group than the Lakers do. Like, the Buss family, that's what they're... They're in the business of the Lakers.
Yeah. Right.
MLSE is in the business of a lot more.
Telecommunications.
Telecommunications. Yes. Their profile is lengthier and deeper than the Lakers ownership. That doesn't mean the Lakers ownership doesn't have the money to spend on whoever they want, but it doesn't mean they can outbid necessarily.
No.
So, I think that'll be a part of the conversation with the Raptors. It has to be. You know, the trust you've built up with Kawhi Leonard, you put forth a plan that we're going to run it back and we're going to have the exact same scenario next year. You're not going to play a lot during the regular season and we're going to amp you up and you're going to play a ton of minutes in the playoffs.
I'm conflicted because I was sure that he was going to stay when I saw him meeting with the private jet guy, Drake's guy, and Hamilton, that company. And then I started to waver once I saw him making the rounds of all the tourist spots. Because it was catching
his last look before he goes.
That I kept thinking that.
Yeah.
I still believe that he's staying on a one-year deal with a player option. You don't meet with a private jet guy without trying to sell that to your family going, right. I'm going to go for one more year.
I can come back.
And you're going to have access to that jet, Air Kawhi.
The only concern is now he's back in L.A., and
buddies are around.
He's comfortable.
And he's boozing with his buddies.
That's the problem. Like, if he never left Toronto.
Are you kidding? You're going back to that place?
The love machine. It is everyone just showering him all the time.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't somebody sign, I think somebody signed out in L.A., but they flew to his house in Dallas, an agent. And I think Mark Cuban got in trouble for it.
Oh, DeAndre Jordan.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was leaving the Clippers.
He was leaving. And they like went to his house, and we're like, "Are you kidding me? You're gonna leave us?"
He locked the door.
He did. Chris Paul, yes. Blake Griffin
didn't let him in.
You got to Lowry and those guys got to be on a flight.
Well, that's an interesting component here because Kyle said this with the DeMar negotiation, and he's carried it over with the Kawhi Leonard. He has recused himself from the scenario. He said, "I'm not going to do anything," which I don't understand. And I hope he's just saying that publicly so people will get off his back.
Right.
But I hope Kyle Lowry is trying to entice him in. Like, if Drake is involved.
Yeah.
What about respecting your teammates' wishes?
No, that's different.
Like, we want you back. We love you, but we're going
to. You go all the way up to the line recruiting.
Right.
The second he makes a decision, you don't clown the guy. And the same thing with the reaction that I get the impression like it's being built up here in Toronto, where people are nervous about the reaction if he leaves. There is a difference between being disappointed and being a clown.
Yeah.
Right. You're allowed to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. Why would you not be disappointed? Anyone suggesting that if Kawhi Leonard signs in L.A. that they won't be disappointed as a Raptor fan is lying.
Yeah.
Of course you're disappointed. Doesn't mean you act like a clown and start carving him online and burning his jersey and saying blah, blah, blah. But the same thing with recruitment. Kyle Lowry, go up to the line and say, listen, man, let's run it back. Let's do this.
Right.
I hope you come back. You know it's great here. Blah, blah, blah. Let's build on this relationship. But if he writes you back in a text, sorry, man, I'm out, and you say good luck.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck. We'll see you down the road.
It was a great ride. We'll catch you this season.
You have to wonder if, like, Masai and Kyle, like, they just show up at his house. Like, hey, what's up? Brought a Texas Mickey of whiskey here.
With a contract.
With a contract.
Well, you want Danny Green to be probably doing that on your behalf as well, but he's still a free agent.
Yeah.
So Danny Green has an offer, we believe will have an offer in Toronto if Kawhi returns. He does have an offer in Dallas that sounds fairly lucrative. I think the Lakers and or the Clippers would be willing to sign him as well if they get Kawhi Leonard.
There's another sweetener. You go to Danny Green and go, now I don't know if you could find the money, but if you can get Kawhi to sign with us, we've got $5 million in a bag down by the river. Like, that's
big
the
time.
Type of stuff. Like, it's a finder's fee.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it, but could you find a way?
You try. You gotta try everything you can.
The NBA is not very diligent in applying their rules.
No.
Yeah.
The tampering rules, the no conversation rules. The second free agency opens, guys have made their decisions. They're planning. They're not supposed to talk about their contracts until last on Sunday night.
Oh,
same as hockey.
Was it the Knicks got clipped the other day for $50,000? Now that was
for banning a
that was a
reporter.
Media.
That was a reporting.
Yeah, that was
a
media thing. But they
how much heat is Mr. Dolan in right now?
Well,
I mean, he owns the Knicks, so his life's got pretty good. But
no, he's the most hated owner I think in pro sports.
Like
there isn't one Knicks fan that supports him. Like, not that I'm aware of. You know, like, he is the worst and most hated owner, I think, in pro sports. Now, he owns the Rangers, and, like, they haven't been any good in a couple of years, but they did sign Panarin.
Things are
coming around. Yeah,
but that's not going to make up for missing out on Durant and Kyrie Irving in New York.
They traded Porzingis away and all those guys to clear out the two max slots.
With the belief that it was a lock, they were going to sign these guys.
Slam dunk.
Yeah. But it makes you wonder who they were listening to.
Why were they so sure?
Were they listening to media types? Like, that wouldn't shock me if James Dolan's just watching ESPN and he's like, oh, Stephen A. Smith said Durant is a lock to come to the Knicks. Let's make that happen.
Right.
Like, how did you get to a point where you believed it was a foregone conclusion that you were getting these guys and then you don't end up signing them?
You're going to chart the course of your franchise on that information?
Yeah. It better be secure.
Come
with confidence, you know?
Yeah.
I agree.
Peter DeBoer, he's got to find a new captain, I guess.
Yeah.
Because Joe Pavelski's out signing in Dallas.
Logan Couture?
Got to be Couture. But would you throw it back on Thornton's jersey? I mean,
no.
Has Joe officially re-signed in San Jose? And Patrick Marleau hasn't gone anywhere yet
either. Joe said he kind of scared me the other day. Didn't he say that
I think he turned 40 today, actually.
I think Joe said he feels he can play for another 5 years.
Yeah, he was joking around, I think.
I know, but that scares me. Yeah. But another year, fine, no problem. Farther down in the lineup, he knows his role.
Ian Marlowe, probably.
That's just been
expected that they're coming back to San Jose. But
they have $6 million left in space. They got to sign that LeBanc, who will he had 54 points or something, so he's going to get 3 or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Joe gets 2.5.
Joe, too? What about Patty Marlowe?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to chop it up between the three of them.
He's million and a half each. Minimum. Like, if Marlowe wants to keep playing, they're going to say, you just got bought out. You're getting the league minimum.
Why don't they just have matching pairing contracts?
Like, that's fine.
We got $3 million left. You guys each get $1.5 million.
That makes sense. I don't see why either guy would complain to get it done.
Yeah.
They're close.
To top you over $100 million in career earnings, both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
So Peter DeBoer will join us. Again, we're continuing to watch what's going on with Kawhi, but there isn't much to really announce at this point. Some big news in the broadcasting world as well. We'll tell you about that later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Peter DeBoer will join us in a moment, head coach of the San Jose Sharks. So I don't know how many people would be familiar with the broadcasting team for the New York Yankees up here in Toronto or throughout the country, for that matter. But the longtime play-by-play voice of the Yankees on radio down in New York, a guy by the name of John Sterling.
Yes.
We have a couple of his calls. I mean, most people would be familiar with the way he calls the end of a game if the Yankees win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've all heard it. Yankees win. And he puts all these, like, corny kind of names on home run calls and stuff. And anyway, this guy, I wasn't really aware of the significance of the streak. I've heard about it. Right. I think he's going to be 81 later in the week. He has not missed a Yankee game in 30 years.
That's crazy.
Since like 1990, Don Mattingly was playing first for the Yankees, and Deion Sanders was playing in left field.
Oh, wow.
The last time this guy missed a game. 30 years, give or take, he has called 162 games a year for the Yankees.
5,000 games.
That is insane.
That's an incredible run.
Like, never sick, never a family emergency, never...
Yeah, like that's...
Or he fought through it or just... didn't care about the family emergency.
I guess it wasn't that much of an emergency.
Yeah, he's like, sorry, man, I got a game. What do you know I got this streak going. Like, this blows Cal Ripken out of the water.
30 years.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's doing it from 20 to 50.
No. The
guy's in almost in the 80s.
Right. He started in his 50s
that's
when it
like
got
that too. You know there's a couple in there where he was a bit guilty or something if he's a boozer.
A little extra
know?
Gravelly on the voice.
Yeah, like it's a 1 o'clock game. And
when he retires, I'll get into a story that I have about John Sterling. Because when I was producing back in the day, I tried to book him a couple times.
Really?
It was always a disaster. It was always a disaster. He stiffed me 3 or 4 times in a row.
Really?
Where I'd send him a note, and I'd be like, you guys are in town. Can we get you on before the game tomorrow? Yeah, no problem. And call him off the hook. No answer. Then he'd call me back like 4 hours after the game. Like, I forgot about it. You know, let's see if we can do something tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, John. I'm trying to put together a show here, and you're
that is
completely
so
unreliable.
Funny.
So he's reliable in terms of getting to the park to call the game.
But outside of that?
No idea what he's doing.
That is brilliant.
You want to hear a couple of his calls?
Yes.
John Sterling, the voice
of
the Yankees?
Yeah.
It is far. It is good! Bernie goes boom! He drills a home run the short way in the right field seats. Burn, baby, burn!
It's just such corny. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, who's that guy in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh. Scratch my back with a hacksaw.
Jim Lang.
Yeah.
Like, it is. It's so cheesy and corny, but if that's your guy.
That's your team. If you don't like that team,
yeah,
you hate that call.
You hate it.
Well,
you're disgusted by it.
It's so obnoxious.
That's exactly the word for it.
They don't like Lang. They don't like Jack Edwards in Boston.
Yeah. But he doesn't care. He caters to his
he knows who he's
marketplace.
Talking to.
But
they
are what you would term homers.
Yes. Like, but I don't have a problem with that on a local radio call.
Yeah, I guess
Joe Bones a homer.
I was just going to say Bones is a guy that I think other people would get frustrated with if you're not a Leaf fan.
Right. Of course.
But if you're a Leaf fan, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, national calls, very different.
Yes.
Very different, I understand. And even calls like with our guys where we have 26 games, like the regional games on TSN, and Gord's calling it in Ray, they're not like Leaf broadcasters.
No.
They're the next night calling games in Montreal. Johnny, you're the same thing.
Yeah.
Noodles, you're the same thing.
Yeah.
Then you're in Ottawa. Then you're calling a game down and wherever. But if your whole thing is following that team, that's all you do is follow that team, and you're around that team.
You become biased.
What else would you expect?
Exactly.
You know, like there was that great call. I don't think we ever played it. When Liverpool won, was it the Champions League game, I think?
They were crying in the booth. They were so excited.
The two guys were yelling and screaming.
Yes.
Well, the color guy was I watched that on TV. I think you tweeted about it.
I did. It was unbelievable.
The color guy, that's the easiest job. He just talks, but he doesn't talk.
But you couldn't even understand what he was saying anyway. Because it was like
he
Liverpool.
Just yells, yes.
Yeah.
Like that was it.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on,
Mullen?
Here?
We got to run that back.
In
you know, to throw a shout out to John Sterling, who will be calling Yankee games again in a couple of weeks. But also,
is he missing just one game, or is he taking?
I think he's
time?
Missing the weekend, and then it's going to go into the All Star break, and then when he comes back,
he's taking a little time.
Yeah, so he'll start the run again. San Jose Sharks head coach Peter DeBoer headlines the 2019 Team Snap Hockey Coaches Conference in Toronto, which takes place July 18th through the 20th up at Ryerson University. So I guess the old gardens. I'm guessing that's where it must be.
Great facility.
It's unbelievable. Let's bring him in here again, the head coach of the Sharks, Peter DeBoer. How you doing, Peter?
Great, guys. Where else would you want to be middle of July but at Old Maple Leaf Gardens, right? At a coaching clinic.
Oh. Still has the dirty roof up there, the tarps hanging around.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And I can tell you, you know, I know they do a fabulous job on this particular clinic. I know the speakers, I think 24 speakers and all levels of hockey. So, you know, I know firsthand I wouldn't be in the NHL without the coaching conferences I attended every summer. And it's not just what you're learning. It's the people you meet, the networking you do. And so it's awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
How would you react? Let's say the Gardens were still around. And, you know, some booze bag with 4 beers trying to get through you, like, during the play. You know, because, guys, to get to your seat, you walk right
through
the bench.
That was the worst setup. I hated that.
It was
that.
Great.
I loved
spilling
it.
Spilling popcorn on my lap and beers on my lap.
It. Awesome. How do you think you'd react to that today, Peter?
Well, you know what? I remember I actually played in the old garden against the Marlboros when I played junior hockey for the Windsor Spitfires. They were still in the league, and we played in the garden. And then I was drafted by the Leafs, and we actually had a training camp between Newmarket and the Garden with Harold Ballard, still the owner. So I did spend some time in there. It was an awesome, great old building. Do you remember when Ty Domi pulled the fan over the edge and yeah. over the glass?
Yeah. Yeah.
And beat him to a pulp in the penalty box? I'm not saying I would do that, but I would hope one of my players might grab him.
I like that idea.
Agreed.
We need more of that. Fan interaction.
Fan engagement and interaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're all about.
I guess you could always do that to, like, Pierre Maguire when he comes and asks you a question during the game.
Don't give me any ideas. Sometimes I got to go down there. Yeah. I'm with Pete every spring. I think I've done San Jose, like, 4 years in a row in the playoffs. So I get him in the first round all the time.
Yeah, we see Mike all the time, and it does cross my mind with Pierre sometimes. When your team's not playing well and you're losing 4-0 and he's pounding salt in it on the bench, it's not easy, but...
I can imagine with Peter DeBoer, the head coach of the Sharks. I mean, you guys, that game 7 is one that is going to be in the history books for a long time at home against Vegas. I got to ask you your reaction when they called the 5-minute penalty on Cody Eakin. And then we all know what you guys did. You go and put, what, 4 on the board in the 5-minute, and then they tie it, and you guys end up winning it anyway. But did you know it was a phantom call at the time? Like, when you were on the bench, did you get a chance to see the review, and did you realize that, you know, it should not have been a 5-minute penalty?
No, I didn't. You know, Pav was in such distress. You know, you gotta, if you remember back, I mean, he was out cold on the ice. This is one of the toughest men to play hockey. I've seen him out there with broken bones and torn ligaments, and you know, when he couldn't move and was bleeding out of his head, and the blood was pooling, you know, kind of under his head. I think your whole concern went there. It wasn't about looking at the replay or the review. I was really, you know, almost in shock following him down to the dressing room. You know, it was really Jumbo who got him off the ice and then really took charge of things and said, you know, we need to make them pay for this on the power play. I don't think at that point anyone looked and said, well, but, you know, it should have only been a 2 instead of a 5. You know, I think we were really in shock and then motivated and pissed off and wanted to do something about it. And to our guys' credit, they did. And it was the craziest game I've ever been a part of. I shouldn't say game, craziest 8 minutes I've ever been a part of. And Joe Thornton said the same thing. You think about all the experiences he's had in hockey. It was wild.
Pete, you mentioned Pav, so we'll just ask you straight up. No captain. He signed with Dallas. What's it going to be like to try to replace him? The goals he scores on the ice, but maybe more importantly, the leadership and the presence in the locker room?
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, both. I mean, I don't know. You don't replace that. That's the easy answer. And you know, I think he gets such timely goals for us. He gets such dirty goals and such unique goals from areas of the ice a lot of guys don't want to go to. And at the tough times, you know, in playoffs, late in games. So you don't replace the on-ice. The off-ice is probably bigger to replace. He had such a great demeanor around our dressing room where he was the hardest-working guy, the most honest player. But he also, you know, had that kind of Wisconsin backwoods personality to him where, you know, even the youngest guy on the team or the call-up was comfortable talking to him. You know, he would seek them out. He was a special, special human, and you know, going to be really missed.
We're chatting with the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, Peter DeBoer. Again, he's going to be in town July 18th through 20th at Ryerson University for the Team Snap Hockey Coaches Conference here in Toronto. Limited registration still available. Visit the website hockeycoachesconference.com. So, you know, I'm sure you're aware of it that the Leafs made a move yesterday and they brought in Tyson Barrie, and they got Morgan Riley here who put up 70 points and Barrie put up 60. Makes them look at stay-at-home defensemen compared to your two guys in Carlson and Burns. What's that like being a head coach and looking down your bench and knowing that Burns can put up a point a game and if Carlson is healthy, he can put up a point a game.
Well, that's where the NHL is going, you know, and we just talked about Pav going to Dallas, but I know, you know, that was probably one of the intriguing parts for him if he was going to go somewhere that, you know, with their defensemen, with the two or three guys they can roll out back there. I think everyone's looking for that blend where they have, you know, two or three real good offensive guys. I think the beauty of our two guys are they can be elite in both ends. You know, we used Lindsay as a shutdown guy at different points with Vlasic this year and in the playoffs. And Carlson, you know, if he puts his mind at defending, he's one of the best defensive defensemen in the world. It's just whatever, you know, he's whatever the role is or whatever you're asking him to do, if he's engaged and healthy, that's what he's doing. So, you know, it's a great luxury, but, you know, we pay a price for that luxury too with a guy like Joe Pavelski leaving because, you know, we don't have the money to bring everybody back. So I think everyone has strengths and weaknesses, and we've poured ours into those guys, and I think that's the right place for us.
All the talk in the National Hockey League, especially up here, is about RFAs. Timo Meier gets, by all accounts, a fantastic contract for what his production is. Maybe talk about the player and what you think his ceiling is, because I think he took a huge step this past year, but is there more there?
There is more there, and you know what, I think the reason Timo, you know, there's a culture built in San Jose, and it starts with Joe Thornton. When he's the first guy at the front of the line at the end of the year going, you know, I'll play for whatever's left over, it's really hard for the young guys to come in and demand, you know, or get piggish about what they should have. And I think that culture starts with Joe, and it extended to Couture. I think he signed a bridge. I know Hurdle signed a bridge contract. You know, Timo signed a bridge. You know, I think when you play on a good team, I think everyone realizes you've got to sacrifice a little in order to play on a good team. And I think looking back, you know, I'd be interested in Mike's perspective on this. I don't think there's a guy after he's done that says, I would give back a little bit of money to have played on a team with a chance to win every year, because that's what it's about. That's when you're enjoying the game. You're enjoying coming to the rink. You know, that's everything. It's funny, but people always ask, you know, what cities would you like to coach in? Honestly, you know, you could have the best city in the world.
If you're losing,
it's crappy.
Yeah.
And you can have the worst city in the world, and if you're winning, you're enjoying coming to the rink. It's that simple.
Put me on Mars. If I'm on the power play or winning, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Power play first, though.
Yeah. That's why we're winning, Hayes, is because I'm on the power play. See, that's what's got to go hand in hand.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of the summer, Peter. And again, I'm sure a lot of people excited to catch you at this conference, July 18th through 20th, up at Ryerson. Again, the website is hockeycoachesconference.com. Enjoy that and the rest of the summer, and I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks.
There's Peter DeBoer. Loves the Gardens.
Sounds like Joe Thornton's coming back.
Yeah, it kind of felt
like
that way.
And Pete would have him back till Joe can't even put his skates on anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that motivation of the Pavelski stuff, that was interesting what he said as well.
Yeah.
You know, like at the time, there's your guy, he's your captain, and he's down on the ice, and they're dragging him off the ice, and you know he's not coming back. And they were jacked up. Now, Vegas could have, you know, made a stop or found a way to dump the puck every once in a while.
You're
but
right.
Still, man.
But the story is true. Like, Joe's grabbed the guy, said, that's it. We're going to take this power play, and we're going to make them pay.
Yeah.
And now it's a great story because they did.
Right.
But, you know.
Were you there? Were you in the building?
No, I did games 1-6 there. Gordon Ray.
I just remember watching that game that night. It was crazy. But we've been in that building. Like, that building's loud as it is.
Yeah.
I could not imagine when they scored the go-ahead goal.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those goals. Like, you know, 3-1, Couture was so pumped
up. But it was building, the crescendo, right? They got one,
then
they got two,
and then
three blow the roof off, and the fourth, forget about it.
Like, it was
insane. It's got a low roof.
Yeah.
And it's flat, and I think it might be metal up there.
Yeah.
So the noise bounces. When it goes, it's as loud as anywhere.
Like, that building is something else. Like, it's very tough as a goaltender to play in that building because of the atmosphere. Like it is. I always felt like San Jose started quick. They threw everything at the net. Like the rink's nice. Like it's a good setup. It just they for some reason when you talk about it, certain buildings don't intimidate anymore at all. They're all cookie cutter. For some reason, maybe it's just a personal thing.
Yeah.
That building had a little bit of an intimidation factor because the crowd is into it, and they play a certain way in that building.
Yeah, Vegas is part of that too. Exactly. But San Jose for sure, man. It's always had that rep. All right, we'll continue to track what's up with Kawhi Leonard. The Jays in action tonight with the Sox in town. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. warming up for the home run derby. There's a video circulating online of him just launching home runs to left field. I mean, he's turning on every single pitch. So we'll touch on that a little bit as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get back into the big Leaf trade that went down yesterday. We actually haven't run back the audio. My sarcastic comment right at the end of the show yesterday, because I thought it was a bit inappropriate that they would make that trade right when we get off the air. I mean, both teams should know better.
That's true,
they
right?
Coordinate any press releases around us. Between 4 to 7.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Let's be honest. Come on now,
and not really towards 7 because we need time. You need time to chew on it.
Absolutely, right. By 6 p.m. at the latest, that deal should have been done.
Yeah,
specifically for us.
I felt like you had to stay late a little bit because of it.
I came back.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. Okay.
I saw Bobby Mack cruising through that parking lot. I was laughing, man. I'm like, there's no way he wants to do this.
He's the one who stuck around. He was walking out at 7 o'clock.
I know, because I was driving out, and I
got the call.
Saravelli was in, like, shorts and a T-shirt, and Bobby Mack.
He had his jacket off.
He was ready to rock, and then I'm like, this Kadri trade is going to, like, whoever's doing TH is staying.
Yeah.
Which
there was no TH last night.
Oh, so it was you. Okay,
I was on the couch at home. Wearing shorts.
Right. It was the Argos were playing last night. It was CFL last night.
Oh, well, like, I saw you and Kara and you and everyone, so I was like, okay, MJ just would have stayed the whole night.
No. Had to make your way back.
I must have had my phone on mute.
Good call.
No, we got out of here quickly. Like, again, we were playing the Argo game, but. Yeah.
We've been here since 10 in the morning, so it was a full day.
It was a long day.
Yeah. And this is the way it ended. Like, you know, looking back on it now, we were really grateful that Carlos stuck around for the 3 hours. Like, he didn't have to do that. He joined us for 3 hours.
The other guy was standing there and waved to us goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, walked in the studio and just said, I'm leaving. Yeah, he could have come in for the hour. It's his show. Like, you would think he realizes his name is on the show. It's his show,
it's
too.
Not. Yeah, like he...
That's why
he
it's called Overdrive?
Yeah.
He acts like a guest on his own show.
Right, like he has no responsibility to the show at all. Like, he could walk across the street and be on the other station tomorrow and it wouldn't matter. Like a complete freelancer. It's like, dude, like it's your show.
He came and said goodbye to us while we were on air.
Right.
Nice of him to say bye.
I'm trying to get out, right, because we got a hard out. We got the Argos game coming up.
Yeah.
We're all ready to dust out of here. It's Canada Day.
And it was 30 seconds.
30 seconds before. And Carlo could have just said nothing.
Yeah.
But right as we're saying goodbye, he decides to chime in. And the only thing we saw was that Kerfoot was coming to Toronto. Nothing else. No more details.
Okay.
So do we have the clip? Do you want to run this back? This was our closing of the show yesterday afternoon. All right, Carlo. Thanks for this, buddy. Good seeing you, man, as always.
Yeah, you too, man. Drager just tweeted that the Leafs have acquired Alex Kerfoot from the Colorado Avalanche.
Wow. Oh, it's a shame we got to get off the air. The Argos are coming up next. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then. And then you left me hanging.
Because I was reading the tweet.
Like, I've never said it. We'll chat then when you guys
are here. You said the whole thing. You're like, we'll chat then.
Yeah,
I wasn't even paying attention. Yeah. I was gone.
But I'm like, Alex Kerfoot. Like, okay, he's a forward.
No, it was Dregs. Like, Dregs had tweeted it. Like,
it would have been a way different reaction if it was Tyson Berry's a Maple Leaf.
Right.
Like, with all due respect to Kerfoot. It was Berry was the guy in the deal. Or if it was Kadri's been traded.
Kadri traded.
But at least I've got Kerfoot. I'm like, we're out of here. Yeah. The Argos are coming up. Whatever. We'll figure it out. See you later.
Yeah.
We'll get back into that trade because it deserves more time and more analysis. MJ's in here. Brian Hayes, Jamie Nunes, McLennan. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.